There's this wonderful song by Ziggy Marley, who is a reggae singer and musician. He's also the son of the legendary Bob Marley. It's called "Love Is My Religion." Now, it's always funny, you know, you sit there and you think out your sermon and you think about what you're going to talk about, especially ahead of time, because I went from, you know, as y'all know, I was in Nebraska visiting family. And then I went, you know, basically went from straight to from visiting family to diocesan convention. And so, you know, you try to think out everything ahead of time, you know, because you realize you're not going to have a whole lot of time, And then events like what happened this last week in Beirut and in Paris happen. And it seems like everything you've written is just basically, you know, well, I'm not going to say I'm not, but, you know, or useless, but it just feels like, you know, okay, I'm not sure if that's relevant anymore. But one of the things about circumstances such as this, you know, the horrible suicide bombings in Beirut, the terrible shootings in Paris, as well as the ongoing refugee crisis. The shootings going on in our own streets and the issues going on in our own borders. And sometimes it feels more like we are, as we become more of this so-called global world, sometimes it feels in, at times we're becoming more polarized. And I have to say, it's sort of this thing where it brings me back to look at my faith. Because, you know, sometimes we get busy and we start taking what we have for granted. We don't maybe stop and think once in a while on what it is that really means to our heart when we talk about our beliefs. And I look at my community. One thing I always notice about here at St. Andrews, from the very beginning and to now, it is, for you consider the area, an extremely, interestingly diverse community we have here. We have members who are, you know, from China. We have members who are West Indies. We have members who, are, of course, are European. We have, you know, First Nations people. We have biracial. We have African Americans. We have this really interesting group of people here, and I think sometimes we don't even think about it because we're just so part of one another. And I'm not going to say it's perfect here, you know, not that we don't ever at times have our own frustrations and our stress. But we do a pretty good job, I think, at times of modeling Christ here. Of not only being there for one another, but also for those who come to us, or sometimes even going out. You know, last week we, one of the things I did regret about not, I enjoyed my time off, but I did, regret not being here for the blanket collection and bringing it over where you all generously gave blankets and other things for our veterans down the street over their veterans place. And you've reached out and helping out at the meals here to help people, you know, over there held up St. Andrews South, making sure people get fed. And as we go into the holidays, you know, everything from Thanksgiving baskets to adopt a family or just being there for people. You know, even this part when we have the, that here as we get around the time of the holiday fair and the church is open as so people can come just not only see the beauty, but even this opportunity to maybe stop and just say a prayer. You know, as I said, you know, that song from Ziggy Marley, "Love Is My Religion," and I see if that's when it comes to being a Christian. Being a Christian is all about love. Well, the last day I was here was moments before Bishop Carey became our new presiding bishop, and in his sermon, one of the highlights in this case is Bishop Carey is talking about the Jesus movement. If you haven't heard it yet, you'll probably hear it time and time again. The bishop, when he talks about the Jesus movement, what he's talking about is this living in love. As he puts it, if it is not of love, it is not of God. Now, as I said, in this world that seems to have gone crazy on us again, where you see, like, what we've been seeing, especially in Paris, after all the shootings, and you're thinking of all, you know, of course, nowadays it's not enough just to tell you about the shootings, they have to show you the blood stains and everything, and you have people who, to me, all common sense would say, stay home and lock your doors and hide from the world, but who are lining up blocks upon blocks to give blood, to see how they can help those people who've been hurt or trying to take care of families. You have this response from around the world. You have people praying, people doing collections, people reaching out. So, in spite of this hurt, this violence that was done as an act of hatred, love is still prevailing. In our gospel today, you have the disciples leaving the temple with Jesus, and they are so, you know, those of you who may have grown up in around some place like New York, you know, probably don't know what it's like for people who come from elsewhere the first time you stand next to something like a skyscraper. Now, or, you know, some large man-made item like that, you're looking up, and just think of all these men who come from really the backwater areas of Galilee. And they're at the temple, and they're seeing these huge stones that have been carved into large building blocks that are bigger than a man themselves. You know, blocks that are almost as big as some of the homes they grew up in. This large structure that just, you know, encompasses acres of land, and people are just crowded into it. And thinking about how there's this magnificent solid structure and being impressed by it. You know, you have one of the disciples go, look at the size of that block. And then to hear Jesus sit more, you know, say, this is all going to be gone. And, you know, that must have just been sort of a, you know, you hear later on about how John and James and Andrew and Peter come take Jesus aside to ask him, well, what's this all mean? And how much of a surprise that had to be, because they're probably looking at that saying, you know, look at this wonderful building. It's too big. It's too massive. What could ever happen to it? Well, about 40 years later, it was gone. Rome took care of it. And we've seen that in our own time, these large buildings that many of us may be, you know, old enough to watch, you know, remember the Trade Towers, you know, going up, whether from television, some of you have lived here actually watching it, and then not being there. Things come and go, sometimes tragically, sometimes it's just time. But those are man-made. But what lasts and what is everlasting is this love that God so freely gives us, this love that we are called to share and reflect one another. this love that Bishop Carey's been talking about in this idea of the Jesus movement, that it is our calling to go out and proclaim the good news, which is, you know, this great commission to go out and to proclaim the great commandment about loving our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes we know the neighbor, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like the neighbor, sometimes we don't. You know, that's the great thing about love. Nobody ever says you have to like somebody. You know, I have to say, you know, I spent the last few days with family. There's a lot of them that near the, at times I wasn't sure if I liked, but, and they were probably feeling the same time. You know, it's, but you know, it's like, but it's the love gets you through that moment. And I have to say, you know, there are some times when, you know, and this is, you know, been my experience from the very first, when I first started coming to churches. There have been some times where I have just been totally overjoyed about you know, my church and my church families. As, you know, whether as a laity or as a clergy. And there's other times where, you know, I'm not sure if I ever want to see anybody again. But it doesn't mean I stop loving. And it's not that I ever stop seeing and feeling the love back. You know, it's a great thing about community. You know, it's we are a reflection of God's love. God's love itself is perfect. Ours isn't. That doesn't mean that it's not relevant. It doesn't mean that it's not from God. It just means we're human. You know, right now, the world seems to be in shambles. But then again, any of us who's been around for a while have seen the world in shambles before. And I think we really do make a difference. This last weekend at convention, we had some wonderful speakers. We had Bishop John Torrent of South Dakota. And we had Bishop David Bailey of Navajo Land. Financially, two of some of the most depressed, poorest areas of our country. South Dakota, you have many, you know, a lot of the reservations where there's a lot of struggling going on because, you know, who wants to build a factory in the middle of South Dakota? I mean, because a lot of it's because you don't have the infrastructure. And you have people who are just struggling to get by. You have a lot of people in Navajo Land who are basically, you know, left there, you know, let's admit it, left there to die. Who somehow, in spite of, you know, everybody's best effort to do so, have thrived. And if you look sometimes at those areas, it can get really depressing. But one of the things I heard from both bishops is these places not only are thriving, but are starting to grow and they're starting to get healthier. And it's because of the church. Not just the Episcopal Church, but the church. Of people giving of themselves and of their treasures and of their talents, but also of their love. And it's making a difference. We look at our history, and the church has made a difference time and time again. The trouble is we sometimes get a little complacent when things get good. And we have to remind ourselves again that we are the church and that we are of love. And that it is our calling to share that with other people. To not be overwhelmed by the darkness. I know I've used this analogy time and time again about the candle. That the candle, You know, you can light thousands of candles from that one candle, and it will never diminish that light. Instead, that light will just get brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's what's true about the love of God. The more you reflect it, the more you share it, the brighter it becomes, the more it goes out in the world. No, the church isn't what the church looked like even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The church looks like what it looks like in this room today. A bunch of people who care. A bunch of people who want to make a difference. Past generations were the same, but the ways we have to do it is differently. I encourage you to share that love, to share God with others. You know, that old corny song from Sunday school and youth camp, they'll know we are Christians by our love. It's a corny song. And it makes me embarrassed to ever have to sing it. But there's a lot of truth behind, you know, there's the truth behind it. You know, too often on television, religions are reflected by the bad people. That's why we always have to try so much harder to let them know that, yes, like every group, we have the bad. We have the misguided. We have the confused. But on the whole, we are loving people. So my brothers and sisters, I do encourage you to share that love. To not, as Jesus warned his disciples, get all overly anxious when you hear about this bad thing or that bad thing. Because God is always with us. And through us, God is made known.